right. Good morning, church. How's everybody doing today? Good? Good. My name's Joel Libramento. I'm an associate pastor here at the River Church. I'm bringing the message today, so really excited to share this passage. Somebody clapping? Wow. Clap for Jesus, not me. Anyway, I'm going to bring a message to you guys today, but first I want to open with a word of prayer. I'm going to read the passage that we're going to be talking about today in Luke, and then we'll get started. So let's pray. God, we just want to just say thank you for your presence. God, we really are crying out, God, show us your glory. God, we want your presence to be here because when you're here, everything changes. And so, God, I just pray today as we walk through this scripture in Luke and we read the words and we hear the account, God, that you will change us. God, that you'll transform us, that you'll transfigure us, God. And I just pray that in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Awesome. I don't know if you guys saw that, but when I prayed, there was no water bottle. And then when we said amen, there was a water bottle here. That's crazy. All right, so let me read the passage of scripture that we're going to walk through today. And if you're new here to the river, welcome to the family. Thank y'all for being here. We love to walk through Scripture because we believe that Scripture speaks, life-changing words, and we preach that way. So we are in the middle of a series called Living Hope, and we're at a passage in Luke chapter 9, 28 through 36, and I want to read that for us this morning, okay? Let's go. About 8 days after this conversation, he took along Peter, John, and James, and they went up on a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and those with him were in a deep sleep, and when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who were standing with him. As the two men were departing from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let's set up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he was saying. While he was saying this, a cloud appeared and overshadowed them. They became afraid as they entered the cloud. And then a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, the chosen one. Listen to him." And after the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They kept silent and at that time told no one what they had seen. So as you can tell, this story right here is pretty wild, and I'm excited to unpack it today. But I want to ask you a question first. How many of you guys love science fiction? Go ahead, raise your hand. All right, all four of you. Awesome. Okay, good. How many of you guys, let me rephrase the question real quick. How many of you guys like Star Wars? Oh, dang. Okay, let's get it. Star Wars, all right. How many of you guys have never seen a Star Wars movie or a show or anything? All right? Okay. There's a communication card in your seat. Fill it out. We're going to be praying for you, okay? Now, me and one of our audio technicians, Jonathan Lopez, 2 Sundays ago, we were sitting in the back. We're having a conversation, and we were looking at the series graphic, Living Hope, and he said, "You know what? This planet right here kind of looks like the Death Star from Star Wars, right?" And I was like, "Man, you're right, man. That looks a lot like the Death Star. That's kind of crazy." And then we were just sitting there looking at it, and he said, "Look at the subtitle of the series, The Gospel of Luke." That was crazy. And I was kind of like freaking out. You know, we were just having fun. Like, that's so crazy. Then I was studying the Transfiguration, which we're talking about today, and I just read it to you guys, and I started to think about this moment in the Return of the Jedi. Watch this clip real quick. They're having a party at the end of Return of the Jedi. Luke looks over his shoulder. Wait for it. And sees Obi-Wan, Yoda, and Anakin sitting there. Y'all are supposed to be laughing because this is crazy. In the Transfiguration, Jesus is there, Moses is there, Elijah is there. I'm like, hold on a second. George Lucas, we're on to you, brother in Christ. And some of y'all are like, where's he going with this? I'm just like, hey, I know back in the day they probably had a Star Wars Bible study at Lifeway or at Mardell's. Y'all got it. And when y'all got to the Transfiguration, I know they showed that clip. What was crazy about that, and I'm serious, like what came first, Star Wars or the Bible? Yeah, that's what I thought. So no doubt George Lucas got a little inspiration from the story. But what's different about this story that you just saw, this clip, and the story we're going to read about today, is that's science fiction. This is science nonfiction. This really happened. This really happened. I don't know how many times it's going to take for us to get it in our head that these stories that we read in the Bible are not just some cute little Bible stories that we heard from our grandma, but these are real and living stories that can change the heart of a man and a woman forever. Amen? So today, we're going to get right into it. It's called the Transfiguration, okay? And if you look at the word transfiguration, it's Latin roots. Trans, which means a cross, and figuro, which means form, signifies a change in a form or appearance. And if you look in the Gospel of Mark, they use the term in the Greek, metamorphosis or metamorpho. You guys, that's where we get the word metamorphosis if you think like a butterfly transformation, right? We're not saying Jesus is a butterfly, but we are saying there's a transformation or a change that happens in Jesus, with Jesus in the story. So let's just dive right into it. Are you guys with me? You guys ready to go? All right, let's do it. Verse 28, about 8 days later after this conversation, he took along Peter, John, and James, and they went up on a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. First thing I want to say is, when you look at this, this stood out to me. The scripture literally says, they went up on a mountain to pray, and as he was praying, he wasn't cooking fish over a fire. He wasn't riding in the car. He wasn't hanging out with the disciples. As he was praying, his physical body was transfigured. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed. And it doesn't say that this happens every time Jesus prays. There was this moment, this special moment, where now when Jesus went down to pray to his Father, he was spending time with God, he changed. Something in him changed. How many of you guys know that when we pray, it can actually transfigure us? It can change us. Now, I'm not saying we're anything like Jesus, that we are divine in any way, and that when we pray, our glorified self is shown. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying, and some of you prayer warriors know this, that when we pray for things, it can transfigure our face when we face difficult times. I'm not talking about those that pray whenever something bad's happening, that one-time prayer, God, something's crazy, I need a job, things like that. I'm talking about when we spend quality time with God, he changes us on the inside. He transforms us on the inside. And we start to see the world a little differently. We start, in some cases, and you hear me say this all the time, this is why Christians are called weird sometimes. Sometimes you'd be facing crazy stuff and you'd have a smile on your face. Talking about transfigured your face to, hey, you know what? I got joy in the midst of a difficult situation because I know God is with me. And a lot of that happens when we pray, when we spend time with God, when we communicate with him. Amen? You don't believe me? Try it. Just test it out, all right? Don't take my word for it. So we will face challenges in this life. And post the transfiguration of Jesus, you start to see him go through some really tough stuff. It talks about his departure in Jerusalem. We're talking about crucifixion, resurrection, ascension. He's about to go through some really difficult things. And Jesus faces it. And what's crazy is I've seen some people go through some difficult stuff. We've had family members in this church, some who are not with us, who have faced cancer, had a smile on their face. Faced some really tough stuff, lost jobs. You know what? I know God's got me. I mean, we've seen some amazing things. And that is indicative of someone who is spending time with God in prayer. Amen? Spend time with God in prayer. So if you want to be like Jesus, first thing they said he did was pray. Pray. The next thing it says in the scripture, it says, as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed. Now, this is kind of weird. I've read this passage and I wasn't really paying attention. I always thought that his face glowed. But it says the appearance of his face changed. Now, what we're saying here in the scripture and what you need to know about Jesus is God who has come to earth and taken on flesh. His physical body, he himself, his divinity, his divine self is inside a physical body. Okay? So what's crazy about this is he's now praying, and it says his face changed. What the scripture's saying is that his glorified, the glory of who he is, his divine self, which has been on the inside, is now showing on the outside. And it says that his face changed and that his clothes started to shine. Isn't that crazy? That's wild. His face was transformed. And in the Greek, when it gets to his face changing or being altered, it uses a term that is called heteros. Heteros means of a different kind. So when it says his face was altered or changed, it was of a different kind. And it stands in contrast to another Greek word that is allos. Allos, which means another of the same kind. So what Peter, John, and James saw on that mountain was when Jesus kneeled down to pray, his divinity, the divine self, we hadn't seen this yet. We've seen the effects of his divinity. He was healing people. People were being able to see again. People were able to walk again. But we were still seeing the physical flesh, who he was, right? His humanity, which we connect with because we're like that, right? We're humans. But all of a sudden in this passage, for the first time, we see God's divinity on display. His face changes. He begins to glow. The glory that we just sang about, show us your glory. They saw his glory for the first time in history. And it was incredible. It was amazing. And it was, what they saw was of a different kind. It was not, what they saw was not like us. I see Jesus in the flesh, that's like me. Heteros. I see his glory, I realize, hey, he's not like me. He's not like me. That's different. That's different than me. And we should be grateful for that. Because when we go through stuff as humans down here, sometimes it takes somebody different than us to be able to help get us up out of what we're facing. And so now for the first time, they see somebody different. They see something different. Whoa, 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 whoa. This ain't just the physical. I'm seeing something divine. I'm seeing something amazing. Different kind. I just felt like that this moment was a pivotal moment. A lot of us, if you look, and I'm going to talk about this in a minute, a lot of us, when we look at Jesus and when the world talks about Jesus, they look at him as a good prophet. They look at him as a good teacher, right? When they line up all the religious teachers like Muhammad and they put Jesus in there and they put all these folks in there and they line them up next to each other and you're like, okay, Jesus is like a guru. He's just a good teacher. Maybe you're in here and you're like, I don't really know if I believe that Jesus was really God or the divine. Here it is. Joker shone, his face changed. He began to glow. We began to see his divinity. There were three guys on the mountain that saw it. I'm just saying, wild, okay? Jesus is God, amen? Then in verse 30, it says, suddenly, two men were talking with him. Moses and Elijah, they appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. So if it's not crazy enough that Jesus is now glowing and his face is different and they're going, yo, this dude is not like us. This must be God. Two other people show up. And it says, in glory. All right, so when I imagine that, I'm thinking Obi-Wan and Yoda, these jokers are glowing too. And I'm Peter, James, and John up there like, what is going on right now? And Elijah and Moses are talking to Jesus about his departure. It's just, it's amazing. So what is so special about Elijah and Moses? Right? This is the question. Why wasn't it somebody else? So there's two reasons that these two men were on that mountain that night. The first one is that they represent the law and the prophets. So Moses, if you remember, Moses was the one that brought the Ten Commandments down. So historically in the Bible, he represents the law that was given to people for us to know how to honor God and love God. And I bet you if I said, hey, give me the Ten Commandments, some of y'all can fire them off. Elijah represents the prophets. Elijah was a prophet who lived, he had a pretty crazy life, crazy story. You should go check it out. And so he represents all the prophecies. All the prophecies that were said about Jesus, that were told about Jesus, and you can go read them. There's like a ton of them. I should have that number off the top of my head because we're looking at talking about that for Easter. So we're looking at Elijah, who represents all the prophecies of Jesus, and Moses, who represents the law which pointed to Jesus, and they're all on that mountain. And it reminded me of this verse in Matthew 5:17. Where Jesus said, don't think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish it, but fulfill it. Moses and Elijah were there as representatives because Jesus was saying, I'm going to fulfill the law, and I'm going to fulfill what the prophets said. It's about to go down. It's about to go down. And what's great about it is Moses was there, and it says that they had, it says they had a conversation, okay? They were speaking about his departure. And so we're talking about, like I said, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. I wish I could have been there for that discussion. I wish I could have just been there like, hey, all right, what are we talking about? I really feel like Moses was probably like, yo, I gave him the Ten Commandments. They struggled with that. They had a hard time with that one. Elijah was there like, yo, they didn't like what we had to say. And there was a bunch of them. We had major prophets, minor prophets. We were all out there saying stuff, but they didn't want to hear what we had to say. And I almost think together in unison, they said, Jesus, you're our only hope. But seriously, that had to be the conversation. That Jesus, hey, you're the hope of the world. They wouldn't listen to us. You are the one. You are the one that's going to change things. You're the one that's going to save people. We couldn't do it, but you are divine, and you can do it. I wish I could have been there for that conversation. The second reason I think that they were there is for this reason. If you look back in Luke 9, 18 through 21, I'm going to read this verse for you. It says this. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, who do the crowd say I am? They replied, some say you're John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Others say that you might be one of the prophets from long ago that has come back to life. What about you? Jesus said. Who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, God's Messiah. I'm not Moses, I'm not Elijah, I'm God in the flesh. So to confirm that he's not Moses, because people were thinking he was Moses, to confirm that he's not Moses, who showed up? Moses showed up. To confirm he's not Elijah, guess who showed up? Elijah shows up. And so if Jesus was the new Elijah or the new Moses, we wouldn't make it to heaven. We wouldn't make it to heaven. So they had to be there. It was, again, another reason why Jesus was saying, or another proof, was like, yo, I'm not these people. I am God. I am divine. So let's take a look at verse 32 real quick. This is going to be real relatable, I think, with us because, well, we'll get into it. Peter and those who were with him were in deep sleep. And when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men that were standing with him. And the two men who were departing from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let's set up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he was saying. Jesus kneels down to pray. His face changes. His clothes are glowing. And your boys are in deep sleep. Dude, what is wrong with you guys? What is wrong with y'all? Y'all sleeping. It says, it doesn't even say they were just casually sleeping. They were deep sleep. They were deep sleep. And this is where you see Peter say one of the stupidest things he has ever said in the scriptures. And what's crazy is the scripture calls him out. It's bad when your statement is so dumb that it's recorded in the Bible that you did not know what you were saying. That's embarrassing, man. We love Peter. Peter's amazing. But when you've asked such a dumb question that it literally says, yo, he didn't know what he was saying. Like the Bible, they literally like, we got to write this in here because we can't let people think Peter would actually meant this. Man, that's really bad. That's really bad. Wakes up, groggy, and then asks this really dumb question. He says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build three churches. Let's build three shelters for you guys. Here's the thing is, he would miss it if they stayed on that mountain. We would miss it if we stayed on that mountain. If what we do here on a Sunday morning doesn't translate to what we do on a Monday or throughout the week, we are going to miss the transfiguration. He can't stay on the mountain. Peter was trying to tie God to a tent on that mountain. He was like, yo, it's so good for us to be here. Let's build a shelter for you to reside here. What Peter doesn't understand is that's not the mission God has. That's not the mission of Jesus. Jesus can't stay on that mountain. He can't stay in a shelter because he's got a mission to come save humanity. So he can't stay up there. And that's part of why we look at Peter and we go, that's why it's like, he don't know what he's saying. It's because God can't stay on the mountain. He tried to tie him to a tent. Our work is not necessarily just building this church, okay? I'm gonna say some stuff real quick, all right? Let me break it down. Let's not do anything for these homeless people. Let's stay right here. Let's not do anything to help maybe the Warm Place or some of these other organizations. Let's just stay right here. Let's not go help Saginaw. Let's not come off this mountain. Let's stay right here. Peter was saying, let's stay right here. Instead of, let's go do what God's calling us to do. Let's go do what we are called to do, our mission. What is it? Jesus could not stay on that mountain. Amen? That was not what he was here to do. So that's part of the reason it was a really dumb statement. Was he's like, yo, this is crazy. Let's just stay right here. Let's put y'all in some shelters up here on this mountain. Let's stay right here. Peter, no. It ain't about that. It ain't about that. Imagine if they were like, all right, let's do it. End of the Bible. That's it. That's it. They're up on the mountain in the shelters. No. Jesus had a plan. He had a mission. He had something he came to do. We can't stay on the mountain. And, you know, it's crazy, but Jesus had to come off the mountain for us to be saved. That's just the bottom line. And I can't give Peter too much grief, okay? We can't give Peter too much grief because historically, God's presence, his glory, resided in a tent, right? In the tabernacle in the desert, resided in the temple, right? What Peter didn't understand is God's doing a new thing now. He's doing something that humans didn't expect. Remember, he shows up in Jerusalem on a donkey. We're expecting a king. He's flipping everybody's minds, right? He's tripping us out. He's going to do something new that we didn't expect. Instead of saving us like you would normally think that he would save us, he's going to save our souls. He's not going to reside in a tent. He's not going to reside in a temple. He's going to reside in our heart, in our life. His spirit is going to reside in here. We will be his new temple. We will be the tent where Jesus lives. And we're not going to stay in one place. We got two legs. We're going to leave today. We're going to go out into the world, into the workplace. We're going to leave this place. And Jesus' spirit is going to go with us. This is the new thing he's doing. We can't stay in a tent. We can't stay on the mountain. Amen? This is what Jesus was doing. So like I said, I can't give him too much grief because he couldn't see what Jesus was going to do. And then the second thing was, well, he was asleep. We can't, you know, it's like, man, I'm sorry, but The next thing, verse 34. While he was saying this, a cloud appeared and overshadowed them. They became afraid as they entered the cloud. Then a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, the chosen one. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They kept silent, and that time they told no one what they had seen. That cloud's kind of significant. I'm not going to dive into it, but some of you guys, biblical scholars, I feel like we've seen this cloud before. You know, I don't know if it says cloud, but I know the skies parted at his baptism and a dove came down. There was a cloud in the desert that led the Hebrew people through the desert. I don't know. There's something significant about the cloud. I'm going to leave that for you guys to study. But this cloud shows up. They were afraid to enter the cloud, and then a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, the chosen one, the beloved. Listen to him." So if it's not enough that Jesus was now glowing, his face changed, we see Elijah and Moses on the mountain. Now we got a cloud and a voice from heaven who says, "This is my son, listen to him." Last time we heard a voice like this come from heaven was at Jesus' baptism, where the voice said, "This is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." Now the voice is saying something different now. He says, the voice literally says, "This is my son, the chosen one. Listen to him." Listen to him. Everybody say, "Listen to him." Listen to who? Jesus. Listen to who? Jesus. I don't want to share too much of my ideas and my thoughts, but I feel like we listen to a lot of different people. We listen to a lot of different people. And again, it's not bad. I feel like I got to have all these, like, you know, caveats to this, but we'll flock to stadiums to hear the biggest religious pastor leader share a message. We got our podcasts in, listen to all these Christian, you know, evangelists and people. And I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's bad because I listen to that stuff too. It has helped me. But we flock to these individuals, the people. You'll be on social media and you got like these TikToks and you got these videos and these reels and stuff of people sharing these thoughts about Jesus and the Bible. And I'm going to be honest, there's sometimes that's very helpful, and then there's sometimes that, man, I'm just confused. I'm kind of left wanting more. And I think it's because we like to listen to all the other voices, but sometimes we don't like to listen to the voice of Jesus. And I'm not trying to like condemn anybody. I'm not trying to like put that on anybody, but sometimes we just got to listen to what Jesus said. And yeah, sometimes we need a little help understanding what Jesus said. But man, sometimes we just got to listen. We got to read his words. We got to understand the red letters in your Bible. You need to read that and listen to it. God's words are life to us, and they transform us, and they change us. And sometimes I kind of feel like that we're like in another moment in history, like back when the Roman Catholic Church would kind of translate the Bible for the people. And if you guys remember this guy named Martin Luther, translated the Bible in the common language. And then what he did was he realized everything they were telling us, not everything, but some of it that is not in there. You're taking advantage of the people. You're saying that Jesus said this and this, this, this. And I kind of feel like we're in an age now where you're going to have podcasts and preachers and you're going to have everything on TikTok and all this stuff coming at you, telling you what to believe or how to believe the Bible or what to believe about God. But we're not going to him himself. We're not listening to Jesus himself. I kind of feel like we need a reform because sometimes I just need to hear Jesus. I need to, and why? And I'm like, and I'm in here and you're listening to me, but I'm just saying, like, don't take my word for it. Don't come in here listening to Pastor Mike or all our pastors speak about this. Man, get in the word and listen to what Jesus has to say for you, all right? I know that's kind of like an unpopular opinion, I feel like, because I feel like everybody wants to listen to me. Come listen to what I have to say, my ideas. And I'm saying, don't do that. Go listen to what Jesus says, what his ideas are. They're transformative. We're talking 2,000 years of transformation, life change. We're talking seeing people with addictions healed and sicknesses healed and mental health healed. And we're talking about just sin going away, destructive lifestyles change. We're talking about hope. We're talking about real life change through the words of Jesus. Don't listen to me say it. The voice from heaven said, listen to him. God said, listen to him. Listen to Jesus. If a voice comes from heaven and says something, you probably ought to listen to it. Probably ought to listen to it. If I'm Peter, James, and John, I hear, this is my son, listen to him. I'm like, yeah, I got you, got you. I'm gonna hang on every word. I'm gonna hang on every word. God says, listen to him. It also, again, proves his divinity. Proves his divinity that God the Father would call down and say, hey, this is my son, listen to him. He didn't say, yo, this is a good prophet. He's got a great podcast. He's going to be speaking at this auditorium. You ought to go buy the tickets and listen to him. Nah, he said, this is my son. Listen to him. It's amazing. Amazing. So what I want to do, and I might have the band come out here in a minute, and we're going to pray. But three things I want you to take away from this. One, no, we're not divine. God is. Jesus is. Jesus is. And in that, Jesus prayed. Sometimes we got to pray. You want to see change in your life? You need to pray. You need to talk to God. Don't come pray to me. Don't pray to, you know, your wife, your husband. I don't know who it is. Don't pray to your neighbor. Pray to God. That's where change happens. That's where change happens. If Jesus' transfiguration isn't enough, there's so many stories in the Bible where people were praying. God did amazing things. Pray. Great things happen. Second thing I want to encourage you guys to do is don't put God in a box. Peter tried to tie God and his presence to a shelter. You can't do that. Yes, God's spirit comes into this place on a Sunday morning, right? We hear the words of God when we're in here. You feel the chills on, whoo, you feel the presence of God in here. Yeah. But he don't live in here. He didn't live in here. We feel his manifest presence in this place, but he lives in here. He lives in here. He's out there. God's moving out there. So don't put God in a box. Don't put God in a box. We come back next Sunday, no one's here. They're like, yo, I'm... Mike's like, cut it. No, I'm just kidding. God, Jesus is not like us. He's not like us. He's different than us. He's holy. He's divine. He is something different, heteros. He's something different than us. You ought to recognize that. Bow your life to him. Bow your life to the divinity of Jesus. Recognize that he is our provider. He is our healer. He is our ruler. And the last thing, above all the other voices, listen to him. Above all, prioritize his voice. How do you hear his voice? Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Know for yourself. Look up those red letters. Find out what he's saying and how it applies to your life. Listen to him. Not because I said it, but because a voice from heaven said it. Listen to him. Let's pray. God, we're here. Your transfiguration tells us so much about who you are, that you are divine, that you are holy. God, that you don't live on a mountain. God, you live in our hearts. God, that you are not far away from us, that you are here, but that you are also different than us. Thank you. Thank you. You are the unmoved mover. And you can change things. You can transform us. And God, give us the ears to hear your voice, your word. Give us the ears. Motivate us to read the scriptures and spend time with us. To spend time with you and transform us, transfigure us. God, we love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you guys would stand.